patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these. He's talking about the things on earth, okay? The Old Testament altar and so forth, and the mercy seat, and that they were patterns of the true in heaven. So he said, you know, the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things. So now we're not talking about the pattern on earth. We're talking about the actual genuine thing. He said the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these, the Old Testament sacrifices. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures or the pattern of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Not that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others, for then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once, in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin. I like that, don't you? Yes. To put away sin. How did he do it? By the sacrifice of who?
Himself.
You know, tonight I want to talk to you about a better sacrifice. A better sacrifice. You know, it's referring to Christ's sacrifice as being better than those Old Testament sacrifices of Israel's priest. In the Old Testament, they would offer up animal sacrifices, such as bulls and goats and lambs. And all of that was a shadow. It was a picture, if you will, a shadow of the ultimate sacrifice that was to come, the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, when he was sacrificed on the cross of Calvary for our sins. With the Lord's Supper tonight, focusing on his sacrifice, the bread representing his body that was broken on the cross, and the juice, which is a symbol of his blood that was shed. I want us to consider this question tonight. How was Christ's sacrifice better than the sacrifices of the Old Testament? Hebrews 10 is going to give us great insight into answering that question. And I want to give you four thoughts tonight. Number one, Old Testament sacrifices could not take away sins. But Christ's sacrifice can take away sins. I want you to look with me here at verse number 4. It says, "For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should what? Take away sins." Verse 11. "And every priest standeth daily, ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins." You see, in the Old Testament, the way it worked was they would have their sins temporarily covered by obeying God's commands to bring the appropriate sacrifice in faith. It was still an act of faith, and they were saved by faith, but it was faith in God's instructions, in God's word, to bring the appropriate sacrifice that God commanded them to bring. And as they did that, then the sacrifice would cover their sins. But, I mean, you and I both know what it means to cover something. I mean, you look down here at this table, and we've got the bread here, and we've got a cloth over it. It's covered. Okay? The bread's covered. I can't see the bread. But is the bread there? Yeah, the bread is just what? Covered. That's kind of like our sins, or the sins of the Old Testament saints. Their sins were covered, but they weren't taken out of the way. They were simply covered by these temporary animal sacrifices. Through their faith in what God instructed, then their sins would be covered. But here's the good news. Through Christ's sacrifice, we can be completely and wholly forgiven, and our sins not covered, but washed away by simple one-time faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. You know, we sing that great hymn. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I like that. We don't sing, what can cover up my sins? No, we don't sing that, do we? No. Whoever wrote that hymn understood this principle from Hebrews. It's not what can cover up my sins. It's what can wash away my sins. Are you glad your sins are washed away tonight? They're taken out of the way. Our sins are not just covered for a year. Aren't you glad for this? That in the Old Testament, you know, they would have the sacrifice a year later. There's that high priest again offering on the Day of Atonement, you know, because it would just cover those sins for a year. But then there was a remembrance of sins, the Bible says, each year, which we'll read about here in a moment. But I'm glad that when I got saved, it didn't just cover my sins for a year, and then I had to go back the next year and get saved again. I'm so glad I didn't have to do that, aren't you? Aren't you glad you don't have to go back and keep getting saved? You know, I feel sorry for people who don't understand the doctrine of the fact that when you're saved, you don't go back and keep getting saved over and over and over again. All right? The blood of Jesus Christ, that's an Old Testament doctrine. See? And that most false doctrine is true doctrine that's been misplaced in the wrong time period. And the idea of having to go back and have your sins washed away again. I mean, how many times can your sins be washed away? Huh? I mean, if they're washed away, how? I mean, then they're away. You know? And so, look with me. Keep your bookmarker here and go to Colossians chapter number 2. I'm so glad I didn't have to keep, I don't have to go back once a year. I'm glad I don't have to remember the date I got saved, so that I could go back that time next year and make sure that I got saved again. Make sure that I made it good again for another year. Oh, I'm so glad that we aren't living in that Old Testament economy. Aren't you tonight? Colossians 2. Look at verse number 13. Colossians 2:13. Great principle here. It says, and you being dead in your sins. That's what we were. Dead in our sins. And the uncircumcision of your flesh, notice though, hath he quickened. That means to make alive. He's quickened us together with him, with Christ. You've been made alive with Christ. Now look at the last phrase. What does that mean? Having forgiven you what? All trespasses. Do we all understand what all means? All means all. All trespasses are forgiven. Go back to Hebrews chapter number 10 again and look down at verse 14. What does that verse say? Hebrews 10:14. For by one offering he hath perfected, how long? Forever them that are sanctified. Our sins are washed away and we are reconciled to God completely forever. How? Through the one-time sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Hey, how many... Well, that's going to bring me to my next point, and that's this. And we'll get into that in this point. Old Testament sacrifices, we said, number one, could not take away sins. Can Christ's sacrifice take away sins? Yes. Number two, Old Testament sacrifices had to be repeated every year. But Christ's sacrifice was a one-time sacrifice. I want you to look with me at verse number 1. Notice the verse here, Hebrews 10, verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered, what's the next phrase? Year by year, continually make the comers thereunto perfect. Look down with me at verse number 3. But in those sacrifices, those Old Testament sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins. How often? Every year. Look down at verse 11. It says, and every priest standeth, and then notice this next phrase, daily. And he's ministering and offering. And then look at the next phrase. What is it? Oftentimes. the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. So the priest would come every year. He would come year by year. He would come oftentimes. He would come daily. And so you're getting the point that the author is making. It was a continual event. It was repeated over and over and over and over. Compare that to Christ's sacrifice, my friend. Look down at verse 10. It says, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. And what's that next phrase? Once for all. It's settled. It's settled. I like that old hymn. The old account was settled long ago. Remember that one? It was settled, folks. Look at verse number 12. He says, but this man, after he had offered, then what's the next two words? One sacrifice for sins, forever sat down on the right hand of God. Look down at verse 14. For by, notice the phrase, one offering, one offering, one offering. I like the old hymn, and I'm referring to a lot of hymns tonight because the hymns are very rich in doctrine. And the old hymn that says, Jesus paid it all. He paid it all. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Well, we should have sung that tonight, honey. That was a good one. Jesus paid it all. Hey, folks, guess what? His sacrifice was complete. It's final. It was satisfactory. It was enough. It was enough. Look at Romans 6. Keep your bookmarker here. Run back real quick to Romans 6. We're not going to do a lot of turning tonight. Just this is probably the last time I'll have you turn. Go to Romans 6. Romans 6, verse 9. Romans 6, verse 9. Romans 6, verse 9. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, now notice this next phrase, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. Death cannot get a hold of our Savior again. Now get a hold of that thing, okay? Death cannot get a hold of Christ ever again. It hath no more dominion over him. Well, guess what? If you're saved, you're in what? You're in Christ. So if death has no more dominion over him and you're in him, can it have dominion over you? Well, no. You're in him. And that's the point he's making here. Look at verse 10. For in that he died. He died unto sin how many times? Once. But in that he liveth unto God. Jesus paid it all. It's a complete, final, satisfactory payment. The bread and the juice does not, as some religions teach, the bread and the juice tonight does not become the actual body of Christ, nor does the juice become his blood. You say, why? There's no need for it. I mean, it would be senseless. There is absolutely not one ounce of reason why that bread would need to somehow mysteriously become his body and why I would need to ingest it. I'm already in Christ and I've been made one with him by faith. So I don't have to take a substance to make me one with him. I'm one with him by faith. Hey, you know, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory, Paul said. Christ is already in you. He's in you. You've been made one with him. You're one flesh, Ephesians 5 says, with Christ. One flesh. By the faith operation of God, Colossians 2 says, that one-time sacrifice of Christ is applied to your heart by faith. That by the faith operation of God, that one-time sacrifice that Christ made, one-time sacrifice, is applied to your heart the moment that you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why, again, I reiterate that we don't have to keep going back and applying the sacrifice over and over and over again. And it's impossible, okay? It's you If you could lose your salvation, which you can't, it would be absolutely impossible for you to ever get it back again. You say, why? Because in order to get it back, the Bible says you crucify the Son of God afresh. He would, if it's a one-time sacrifice, how many times do you get saved? Once. It's applied once. For it to be applied again would mean he would have to give himself again. The Bible says that's not going to happen. It's a once-for-all sacrifice. And I'm very thankful tonight that in the dispensation of grace that we live today, we're in Christ. And the Bible says that we're placed in Christ and we are sealed with His Spirit until the day of redemption. And so that one-time sacrifice is applied to your heart by faith, and it washes away, it takes away your sins. You're forgiven all trespasses, the Bible says, and you are forever brought into a place of reconciliation with God by faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Not of works, it's by faith. And so it's a once for all. Now, that in fact, that brings me to my next point, and that's this. The Old Testament sacrifices, could they take away sins? Yes or no? No. Does Christ's sacrifice take away sins? Takes them away. That's right. Were Old Testament sacrifices, did they have to be repeated continually? Yes. Does Christ? No. It's once. Next principle is this. This is why it's a better sacrifice, as Hebrews says. It's a better sacrifice. Number three, Old Testament sacrifices were exclusive. Now listen, they were exclusive. Christ's sacrifice was all-inclusive. Now what does that mean? Look at verse 11. Go back to Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10, and look at verse 11. It says, "And every priest standeth daily, ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins." Now, when it talks about every priest, you know what that's talking about, don't you? He's speaking of Israel's high priest who would offer a sacrifice in the Holy of Holies in the temple or the tabernacle. That priest would go into the Holy of Holies. And there he would offer that sacrifice on the mercy seat, okay? And he would do that every year on the Day of Atonement for the sins of the nation of Israel. Not the whole world. You understand that if you go back and read the law, he was doing this for the sins of the nation of Israel. So the Old Testament sacrifices were exclusive in the sense that they were exclusively for the nation of Israel. That's why in order to be saved in the Old Testament, you came under the wings of the nation of Israel, the God of Israel. Okay? You had to come. You became a proselyte into Judaism in order to be saved. That's why Jesus told the woman at the well, "Salvation's of the Jews." You see, in order to be saved, you had to come and become, attach yourself to them. You had to come and be a proselyte into their faith so that that sacrifice then would work for you. You had to more or less become a Jew by being a proselyte. If you're a Gentile, you had to become a proselyte into that. And that's how a Gentile could be saved in the Old Testament. Why? Because the sacrifice that high priest made was not for just something for the whole world, and that just somebody somewhere else in the world could just, you know, be saved through that sacrifice. No, it was for the nation of Israel. Now let's compare that to Christ's sacrifice. And this is why it's better. That's why the Bible says it's better. Look what the Bible says in verse 11. It says, "And every priest standeth daily, ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifice, which can never take away sins." Okay, but now let's look down here, verse 12. "But this man," speaking of Christ, "after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool." Verse 14. "For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified." The Bible teaches, and look up at verse 10 too, I want to get that one. "By the which will we are sanctified," now look at this, through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. And I underline those last three words. What are they? Does it say once for Israel? No, no, it says once for... Do you all see why his sacrifice is better? Do you see what Paul said? The apostle Paul made this statement. He said, God will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Well, how? Then two verses later it says that Christ gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. The apostle John said that Jesus Christ didn't just die for our sins and become the propitiation for our sins. He said he became the propitiation for the sins of the whole world. Aren't you glad for that tonight? We don't have to go through a nation to be saved today. You don't have to go through Crossroads. You don't have to go through Israel. You don't have to go through America. Salvation today can be on an individual basis with anybody in the world. Why? Because Christ made a once-for-all sacrifice for all of mankind. Boy, that's exciting, isn't it? And then one last thing is this. Old Testament sacrifices were offered by sinners. Christ's sacrifice was offered by the sinless one. That's why it's better. Look at Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews 9, let's go back a chapter here. Hebrews 9, look at verse 7. It says, but into the second, talking about into the Holy of Holies, went the high priest of Israel. He went alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered. What's that next two words? For himself and for the errors of the people. Was the priest sinless? No. No priest is sinless. No priest in the Old Testament was ever sinless. He says he offered it for himself and for the errors of the people. Look down at, let's go over to chapter 7, Hebrews 7. Look at verse 26. It says here, for such an high priest, speaking of Christ, became us who is holy, harmless, and undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice first for his own sins, and then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests which have what? Infirmity. But the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son, who is consecrated forevermore. You see, this is why his sacrifice is a final one-time sacrifice. It's because he is the perfect, sinless sacrifice. 2 Corinthians 5:21, we mentioned it Sunday morning. And that is, for he, God, hath made him, Christ, to be sin for us. Because the next phrase says, he made him to be sin for us, who what? Knew no sin. We should have sung that tonight. That's a good one too. Who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Aren't you glad that we can be made righteous because he was totally righteous? So therefore, he can give us his righteousness because he was righteous and he took our place on the cross. Therefore, he took our sins and says, now, by faith, I bore your sins. Now, by faith, I'll give you my righteousness, Christ says, the moment you believe on me. Aren't you glad that our Savior's sacrifice is a better sacrifice? Old Testament sacrifices, could they take away sins? No. Christ's sacrifice could. Old Testament sacrifices had to be repeated every year. Christ's sacrifice was one time. Old Testament sacrifices were exclusive for the nation of Israel. Christ's sacrifice was all-inclusive for all of humanity. Old Testament sacrifices were offered by sinners. Christ's sacrifice was offered by the sinless one. Truly, Christ's sacrifice is a better sacrifice. Isn't that a blessing tonight? I hope that was a blessing to you. And I hope that prepares your heart tonight for the Lord's Supper. So let's go to the Lord in prayer right now. And I'm going to ask as we go to prayer if the men who are going to be serving could come and have a seat. Guys, you can come and have a seat up here in the chairs if you're serving.